This is Invest Talk from KPP Financial, helping investors make sense of the markets one day at a time. Here's your host, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. And I'm going to start off today's show really highlighting, I don't talk a lot about, you know, my interests, but I'm a big hoops head, big basketball guy. I've had Lakers season tickets for 18 years now. But I just love basketball. And to me, the NBA finals are the pinnacle. I love it. Game one yesterday was incredible. Loved seeing New York on fire, and just excited for basketball again. So I wanted to highlight that, because if you're out there and you're maybe thinking about watching the finals, I encourage you to tune in. I think it's just been an incredible playoff. So pretty excited about that. But I'm also excited to talk to you guys and whatever is on your mind. Very interesting topics to discuss today. And we'll jump right in. You know, whatever is on your mind, I want to hear from you, money related. Maybe you want to talk about the NBA Finals. That'd be great as well. I love talking hoops. It's probably my second favorite topic to discuss besides investing in the markets and things like that. So whatever is in your mind, give us a call. 888-99-CHART is the number to get through and ask your question. A heads up, our next wealth webinar is set for Tuesday, June 30th. Less than a month away, 12 to 1 p.m. Pacific time. It's called Beyond the Yield, How to Invest for Your Income Needs. So you can register for free by heading over to investtalk.com. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance, run down the show topics for this hour. But first, let's tackle this caller question first.
I have a question about Carvana. I just wanted to know your idea about this stock. I'm looking forward to your response. Thanks so much.
Okay, looking at Carvana, CVNA is the symbol. This is one of those names that it's a retail juggernaut. You know, this is a good proxy for liquidity. It's a good proxy for how the average investor is feeling, et cetera, because historically they haven't been very profitable. Now they're profitable recently. They've made some changes to their business model, and they're starting to produce profit. $1.52 expected in earnings this year. That's still down 10% from last year. And then expect to make $2.08 next year. That's a $66 stock. Kind of expensive for a company that, if you're talking about forward-looking earnings multiple in the low 30s, that's kind of expensive for a company's earnings growth has been pretty meager, especially as of late. Now, once again, it's supposed to accelerate. But if you go look at the cash flows of Carvana, they're not that great. If free cash flow has turned positive, that's the good thing. But it's flattened out right here around $700 million on a market cap of $47 billion. Now, momentum has waned. It peaked back in, when was this? January. And it's now 32% off its 52-week high. It's certainly in a downtrend. It found support at the 100-week moving average, bounced, but has rolled over once again. To me, this looks heavy. This looks like it wants to head lower. And frankly, not shocked. If you're having higher interest rates, consumers becoming stretched, the used car market is not going to do very well. And that's what they do. It's a used car online platform. So when I look at the valuation, I look at the technicals. Overall, it's just not that pretty of a picture. Better than it had been in the past, I'll say that. Some improvement. But overall, I'm passing on Carvana. Now, we had a great show yesterday. We looked into the story, Gold's Confusing Signal, Why the Safe Haven Trade Hasn't Played Out as Expected. We also answered questions on Salesforce, CRM, which was submitted via a live call from AM 1220 in the Bay Area. And if you happen to miss it, go check it out. The best way to get every show is to follow Invest Talk wherever you get your podcast. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so. Time permitting, we're going to get to all of it. And our main focus point is about net worth milestones by age. Why net worth matters more than income for financial security. We look at a new survey from the Federal Reserve. And we're going to give you an idea of where you kind of land when it comes to the different age brackets, net worth, mean and median, which are very different, important to look at that. So we're going to check that out and much more on today's show. We're also going to talk about why the $1 million market used to be, oh, I should make $1 million and I can retire. Well, that's no longer a great benchmark. There are other check marks to consider when you're thinking about it, thinking about retirement. Also, SpaceX. We have SpaceX IPO coming out. I think it's a week from Friday. Fidelity lowered their minimum to $2,000 to invest in it from, I believe it was $20,000 or $25,000 before. What does that tell you? That tells you there's not a lot of demand at these valuations, which should be a massive red flag. So we'll look at that. And then we'll look at oil stocks, oil inventory, shall we say, and see where we're at compared to last year. We also have voice bank calls. One is on Marvell Technologies, as well as Freeport McMoRan, FCX. And then we have some questions that came in via the comment section over on the Invest Talk YouTube channel. But we're going to head to a quick break. Please remember you can call anytime and leave your question on the Invest Talk voice bank. If you're listening via our live stream or on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. Up next, I'll comment on today's market activity.
This is Invest Talk, now closing in on 63 million downloads. And Justin Klein is here taking your questions live. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So I get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's take a quick look at the market today. And it was an interesting one on the back of Broadcom's earnings after the bell yesterday. The numbers were good, but not as good as the market expected, at least when it came to guidance. And that's why you saw Broadcom down so much. I believe, what did we close down on Broadcom? Down 12% on the day, which weighed on names like Micron and AMD, SanDisk, Qualcomm, etc. So that's really what drove the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ ended in the red, but only 23 points, 0.09%, 9 basis points there. So not really a big move net-net, because you did get some strength out of Google, up 3% on the day, or shall I say Alphabet. NVIDIA up about 2% on the day. A lot of the finance names were strong. You had JP Morgan up 3%, same with Morgan Stanley and Bank of America. Goldman Sachs up nearly 5% on the day. Tesla was in the red. Coke was down a little over 2.5%. But really the strength in today's market, beyond just the financials, were actually healthcare. Healthcare was, after being weak, a relative underperformer on the year, you saw some recent strength, especially in the managed care area, as well as pharma. Merck was up 5%, Eli Lilly up a little over 4%, Medtronic up 5% on the day, etc. So a lot of strength there. So overall, it was a green day. S&P gained about 30 points, 41 basis points overall. And the treasuries were a bit stronger. Yields down a little bit. 1 to 3 basis points across the curve. Dollar index off 0.1%. Gold finished up 0.9%. Silver up 0.4%. Bitcoin futures, though, the futures continue to trend lower. Down 2.4% on the day. Lower for the 7th straight session. And to me, this is a good example of why you have to understand flows. One of the big reasons you saw Bitcoin above $100,000 per coin earlier last year was MicroStrategy, or what is called now just Strategy. But they were big buyers and they were borrowing money in order to buy Bitcoin, which was basically levering up the entire space. Now it's reversed. They're selling. There's a lot of pressure to the downside. And that's why you're seeing all this weakness. So it's very, very important to understand those flows, how durable those flows are or not. Are they driven by leverage or not? And this not just goes, this doesn't just go for Bitcoin. It's every asset class or every company that you're looking at. Because once leverage reverses, well, those flows reverse and you get forced selling. You get major, major downtrends. And that's what you're seeing right now in Bitcoin. WTI crude was down 3.1% after being up 2.5% yesterday. So pretty interesting market there where there's still more rumors of a deal in Iran, but I'm not seeing it. The major economic news, though, was initial jobless claims increased to 225,000, ahead of consensus of 215,000. This is the highest level since February. So you're starting to see that push higher. Overall employment, non-farm payrolls are expected to increase 90,000 in May once the report tomorrow. So that will be a market mover. We'll see what that comes in at. So that was the market today. A lot of earnings that move things, but overall the uptrend remains on track, and every dip looks to be bought. Let's go with a YouTube comment section question now. ADCY7 says, thanks, Justin. Crazy times in the market. Appreciate the info to help break it down. Take a look at EXE. If you get a chance, one of the few energy plays I can find a decent value. I'll listen on the show. You handle all through my retirement accounts. Happy client, Dan from Pittsburgh. Well, appreciate that. EXE, Expand Energy. If I remember this name, this is a merger between, because we looked at this one. We've looked at this in the recent past, potentially buy for clients. We ended up not buying it. I think it had to do with the leverage. And if I remember correctly, it's really focused on natural gas. Natural gas. What is the merger? There was two large companies. The market cap here is only, this is $22 billion. So it's, you know, mid to large cap type of name. Yes, 85% is natural gas here in the United States, which there's a lot of supply. So it's hard for that to get traction to the upside. And overall, if you look at this, it's just underperforming the sector as a whole. And that's my main issue with it. Earnings this year are supposed to be up to $8.91, then $9.14 next year, about 10 times forward-looking earnings, which is, remember, for a commodity name, that's usually, I don't say par for the course, but it's common. It's common to see low multiples. So when you're looking at that, remember, when you're looking at any company, not just an oil or gas name like this, you need to compare it to others within the industry. And there's a lot of other names that are trading at similar valuations to this. So I don't see this as exceptionally cheap compared to others within the industry, to be honest with you. And frankly, we're looking at are more midstream companies, those that transport the natural gas or oil, as well as refineries. I think those are areas that will be able to extract higher than average profitability over the long term. So while this isn't bad, I just think there are much better opportunities within this space. So I'm passing on EXE. Expand Energy. That was Invest Talk. Our work continues after this break, so get your call in now or anytime, 24/7 at 888-99-CHART.
Get ready for an all-new Invest Talk Wealth webinar, Beyond the Yield, How to Invest for Your Income Needs. Tuesday, June 30th, noon to 1 Pacific Time. Learn more and register now at investtalk.com.
Hi, my name is Rich. I was calling to get your opinion on two different stocks that I own. The first one is Powell, POW, and the other is Comfort Systems, FIX, FIX. And they both play in the data center industrial build-out sectors. My general question was, they've had quite a run-up, but they still remain a small portion of my overall portfolio. However, given rising interest rates, I wasn't sure if the narrative is changing and if your thought is that the buildup might slow down, which would apply pressure to these stocks, and whether or not you think it would be a good idea to go ahead and take some profits and then maybe enter in at a lower value if these are potential long-term holds. So just wanted your general opinion on these two different stocks in this area and if the narrative may be changing some. Thank you very much. I look forward to hearing it on the podcast, and thank you for all you do. Bye.
Well, appreciate the kind words. And you're asking about two names that are similar in some ways. So FIX is Comfort Systems. This is in the HVAC world. Versus POW, which is the VistaShares Electrification Supercycle ETF. So one's an ETF, one's an individual company. Both are trending positively. FIX is a name that just continues to power higher on strong growth because it provides commercial, industrial, and institutional clients mechanical and electrical contract services. So there's a lot of HVAC in there as well. But what they do is very in the wheelhouse of AI data infrastructure build out. Versus if you own POW, you're probably owning Comfort Systems in here somewhere. It doesn't look like it's in the top 10. Yeah, I guess it's not in here. So you're getting a little diversity. That's good. But I kind of like the diversity of VistaShares, the electrification supercycle ETF. I do think there's a lot to like about this subsector as a whole. I think the biggest issue is they've all ran. To a large degree, there's a lot of growth priced in to these names. And it's going to have to, just look at Broadcom today, right? Still killed it, but the guidance was not nearly what the market wanted to see. Now, I will say is it just dropped down to where it was trading last week, basically, beginning of last week. So it's not like the end of the world, but it just shows you that momentum can wane pretty quickly. I would hold both of these. I would have stops on them. POW has definitely lost a bit of momentum over the past, let's say, month. Peaked out. Peaked out on the 5th of last month. So tomorrow will be the 5th. So we're a month out from that peak, and it is looking a bit toppy. So that would probably be the name that I would trim first. Even though I like the diversification, it's looking, a bit toppy. FIX is looking stronger. It has also peaked around that time. But for example, today it was up 3.5% on the day. So it's showing good relative strength. Frankly, what I've seen in my history is this is the time you trim these names or you raise your stops. And it would probably be, for me, the 50-day moving average on both of them. 50-day moving average on both of them. They're both above it, but if it drops below, I would be probably out. Let's make it two in a row from 888-99 chart.
Hey, Justin or Luke, this is Jason from Atlanta. I was calling about Centrus Energy, ticker LEU, with all the talk about nuclear energy, and thought I'd take a position in this one. I wanted to get your opinion, see what you guys thought of it. All right, thanks. I'll listen to it on the show.
Looking at LEU, Centrus Energy, they engage the production and supply of low enriched uranium. And their business is doing a bit better than it had been, but it's actually decelerating. In fact, earnings are supposed to be down 26% this year to $2.87, then to $2.83 next year, down another 1%. And revenue growth is at 3% this year, expected 8% next year. Both not that great. So they supply nuclear fuel services for the nuclear industry. I wonder, do they have any exposure to China? Because that's where most of the new plants are being produced. When I say plants, nuclear plants. Their free cash flow is negative. Return equity is 12%. Not heading in the right direction. They have a great balance sheet. Net cash on their balance sheet, which is good. But overall, I don't like the trend in the stock. You know, it peaked back in October of last year, around 400. What was this? 460 or so. Now we're down all the way to 186. So I just don't like the trends here. I don't even think it's cheap enough quite yet. So I think there are better nuclear plays than this. So I'll pass on LEU. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this story. Defense Stocks 2026, how the global security boom creates long-term investment opportunities. That story is for tomorrow, but we're ready for your calls now at 888-99-CHART. At KPP Financial, accountability means more than advice. It means we invest alongside you. Through our parallel investing approach, when we recommend an investment for clients, one or more KPP principals invest their own capital at the same time. Same day, same price, same percentage. If your portfolio moves, ours does too. That is alignment. That is transparency. That is the KPP difference. Visit investtalk.com to get your free portfolio review.
Stop guessing with supplements. Most of us take vitamins blindly, wasting time and money. Your body is unique, and it deserves better. Introducing True Diagnostic, an easy at-home health test. With a quick finger prick, True Diagnostic uses advanced epigenetic testing to analyze over 1 million data points and measure up to 180 biomarkers. You will receive clear digital results with a personalized 90-day actionable plan to improve health, boost energy, and slow down your aging process. There is absolutely no guesswork and no generic advice. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off at TrueDiagnostic.com using code INVEST20 at checkout. That's TrueDiagnostic.com and use code INVEST20 for 20% off today. Choose True Age, True Health, or the Combo Kit as a one-time purchase or subscription. True Diagnostic, spelled TrueDiagnostic.com. Use code INVEST20 for 20% off today.
There are a few things that make KPP Financial special. One of them is parallel investing. This means they invest right alongside their clients. Here's how it works. When KPP Financial makes a trade for their clients, Justin Klein makes the same trade for himself and KPP. On the same day, at the same price, and same percentage. No front running, no special treatment. Learn more about parallel investing at investtalk.com.
Let's talk about your net worth milestones by age and start to think about where you land. But most importantly, how to get higher up in your potential income or net worth bracket. What are the habits that take you there? Now, this is some interesting data coming from the Federal Reserve Survey of Consumer Finances. Now, there will be updated data here. So this is based on a little bit old data, but adjusted for inflation and market returns, all of that. And it looks at things like median and mean net worth. So median is when you say median, so he's 50% of the people are above this number, 50% of the people are below this number. Mean is the average of everybody within that age group. Now, under 35, the median net worth is $39,000. The mean is $213,000. So obviously, you're always going to see the mean, the average, much, much higher. So I'm going to go on a list of median, and then we'll talk about the multiples of that for each age bracket. So the median under 35, like I said, 39,000. 35 to 44, 135,600. 45 to 54, 247,200. 55 to 64, 364,000. 65 to 75, 410,000. And then 75 and over, you have $335,000. So you can see as peaks kind of in that 60 range when you're in your 60s, and then starts to draw down as you enter retirement. So remember, median is always going to be much lower than the average because we're in this large wealth gap. But for the average person, you don't want to use the average, you actually want to use the median. Median is probably more accurate to benchmark yourself against. Now, where does that age or that income or net worth gap, shall we say, where is that the largest? It's actually largest for the younger cohort, under 35. The mean, the average, is 5.5 times higher than the median. For 35 to 44, it's 4.5 times higher than the median. 45 to 54, it's 3.9 times. 55 to 64, 3.8, as well as same for 65 to 74, also 3.8, and then 75 plus 3.5. Which shows you, as the older you get, the average comes closer to the mean. Sorry, the average is the mean, sorry. The average comes closer to the median. Now, what are the lessons here? What are the lessons that you can take home? Because that's ultimately what you're here for. And go look up these numbers, and I think they're always interesting to kind of benchmark yourself against. But what are the three things that matter for building wealth over time based on this data? And it's three things. It's income, it's savings rate, and how long you've been at it. So obviously, why the older you are, the bigger your nest egg tends to be. And what things move the needle measurably? Number one is home ownership. For most households, primary residence equity is the largest single asset. From the 45 to 54 median includes about 60% home equity on average. Now, what I will say is, I think the era of building huge wealth with home equity, I don't want to say it's behind us, but it's going to be a lot harder. You're not going to get growth of real estate prices exceeding inflation by a dramatic fashion year after year after year, like we had from, you know, the early 80s all the way until, you know, the mid 2000s. So I do think that it's going to be harder. Not to say you can't do it, it's just going to be harder. What else moves the needle? Retirement plans at work. Automatic enrollment and matching is what is driving a lot of the value of these 401k plans. Then marriage. Married households have approximately twice the median net worth of a single person household at the same age. Part of that's dual income, but a big part of that is cost sharing. Geography obviously matters, so it's going to depend on, a lot of this is aggregate across the country, but wealthier areas, you're going to have to move these medians and means higher. Then there's inheritance. A small percentage of households receive big transfers. So that's where they get their wealth from. You have no control over that. It's just luck, right? Who your family is. But what are the two things that most people think are important, but are far less important than people realize? Number one is, fortunately, despite what we talk about here on air, it's actually investment selection. Yes, it matters. Not to say it doesn't matter. Obviously, it's what we do and we built a business on it. But it's up to the individual to save money. If you don't save money consistently over time, it does not matter what return you get. Your base amount of assets are not going to keep up with inflation if you are not saving consistently. And that goes to the next one, which is budgeting style. It's not really about what type of budget you create, or, you know, there's zero base, there's traditional budgeting, whatever process you put forth to create a budget, it doesn't matter that much. It's a matter of whether you're tracking it or not. And how do you use all this data besides, you know, having those positive habits? Well, it's, first off, it's don't compare yourself to others or even your social circle. This is good data in aggregate. You want to, the reason this is good is because it is a lot of data. It's a lot of people that you're comparing against versus your social circle, keeping up with the Joneses. A lot of people do that, but that is a biased sample based on just who's in your neighborhood, who, you know, who maybe goes to your local church or, you know, wherever your social circles are. So overall, don't beat yourself up no matter where you're at. We all have our own path in life, whether that's financially, professionally, in our love lives, whatever. We all have our own path. So be kind to yourself and build the habits that matter. And hopefully this helped with that. Now let's swing back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank. You know the number. Call anytime at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin or Luke. I'm calling today about the copper area. First of all, thank you guys for touting or I guess being bullish on Southern Copper this whole time. I've held that position for quite some time now and has done really, really well for me. I'm calling specifically today about Freeport Macwarrant, however, ticker FCX. I've noticed that I've owned this on and off. It's a little bit more volatile than SCCO. However, in 2026, it has hit resistance about three times. And I'm curious if you think now is another time to kind of buy back in and get ready for the next breakout, especially since copper is trading very well at the moment. Or do you think it's better to kind of wait for a pullback as it has normally done, maybe another 5-7%, and then buy in? Maybe it won't get there. Or maybe your preference is just to add more money into Southern Copper. I do own a good amount in there. Let me know your thoughts. I'd love to hear your take. Thank you for everything that you do. Bye.
All right, looking at FCX and SCCO, we actually own both for clients, depend on what strategy. Obviously, Southern Copper, it's more of a global company, international company versus Freeport Macwarrant. It's domestic. However, it does own mines around the world. So, you know, it depends on how you want to look at it. Freeport is, if I remember correctly, bigger. Let's see, Southern Copper, $164 billion. Freeport is, actually 101. So Southern has outperformed over the medium term, shall we say. But once again, I like both, mainly because we just like copper exposure. And both are doing well. Now, when it comes to Freeport itself, it just closed at a new 52-week high, let's see, a Monday? Had a down day yesterday, a down day today. It's a little bit of a pullback. But it's right at the $70 area, which it first visited in January. Pulled back a little bit, revisited it in late February, pulled back all the way into the low 50s back in March, late March, when the market pulled back. Remember that? Then rallied again quickly, all the way back up to around 70 in late April, pulled back again to the mid 50s in early May. And now we're back into the 70 range. At the close today, we're at 69, spot 69. So from a technical perspective, when you get an area like this hit multiple times, what it's telling you is it wants to go higher, right? Especially when the pullbacks are creating higher lows. And that's what you're seeing. In March, the low was, what is this? Right around 51. In May, the low was around 55. And then mid-May, that pivot point was around 58. So you can see it kind of marching higher from its on the low pivots, and you're getting those highs right around 70. So technically, this looks ready to break out. And copper continues to trade near all-time highs. And with such a high demand for copper and limited new supply coming on, those that have the means of production, the actual means to produce copper in today's environment, are going to continue to win. And that's why Freeport Macwarrant's earnings are expected to be up 48% this year to $2.62, then $3.78 next year, up 44% once again. So 2024, just a couple of years ago, they earned $1.48. And so that's going to earn more than double that number next year, like I said, to $3.78. Good balance sheet. They had some issues with a mine recently, but they've had that. They've been able to get that restarted mostly. So overall, things are looking up for the copper space. I like both. We like both Southern Copper and Freeport, but the technicals on Freeport do look ready to break out. Let's go answer another voicemail question now.
Hello, InvestTalk. This is Jose from Brooklyn, New York. I just had a question about a stock called Marvell Technology, ticker symbol MRVL. I know there's been a lot of hype recently regarding this company. Recently, been going up a lot, and I was looking into maybe purchasing it. But it looks like it might be too overpriced to see the PE ratio of 103.32. Just wanted to know how you feel about it. There's a lot of room for growth, and is it really worth this steep price. I know it's trading at 314 at the present moment. Thank you for the help.
You closed today around $316, well off its lows of the year, were around $70. Yeah, you're right, $70. That was in early February. Once again, now we're at 316 and change today. Marvell Technology, they manufacture semiconductors. Historically, it's a very good business, although very cyclical. And I always, one of the nice things about this show and the lessons I've learned throughout this time is, despite what we talk about all the time is finding good quality businesses at reasonable prices, our listener base is still an average retail investor. We can't control that. And usually when our callers call in, it gives us a gauge of sentiment. And you should gauge this as well. You should use this as a tool, not just what we say, but what are the callers calling about? It's very rare for callers to call in and give us something that is down on its luck and is a bargain. Usually, the ones that are down are mostly value traps. And the ones that are up have moved already dramatically. And Marvell's one of them. Earnings are exploding. Up 42% this year, then up 52% next year to $6.13. But it's a $316 stock now. So that's a 50 times forward-looking earnings. 2% earnings yield. Very, very expensive. Even if it's a great business, even if it's a great company, I just don't see these margins being sustained. You missed it. You missed it. Now, could it continue to go higher if you're a momentum investor? Sure. You want to play with momentum and you think that this AI craze is going to continue for a number of weeks and months going forward. And certainly it could go from 300 to 500. That's possible. You never know when the ultimate inflection point is within this space. But when it happens, Marvell will certainly reverse with all the others. And it'll go down rather rapidly. So you have to be very careful with that. And so, yes, I think you missed it. It's too expensive. But it's a name that should be on the watch list once, you know, the sentiment within the space kind of flips. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
Spend lots of time optimizing your portfolio, researching positions, managing risk, and leveraging the power of compounding. So, here's a question you need to take seriously. What could poor sleep actually be costing you? We know that sleep deprivation can degrade your cognitive performance, decision quality, emotional regulation, and temperature is a key factor in determining quality sleep. Finally, the temperature regulation challenge has been solved by the ChiliPad 2.0, a water-based mattress topper. It actively controls your bed temperature from 55 to 115 degrees all night to get you into deep, restorative sleep faster and keep you there longer. It works on your existing mattress, so a new bed is not needed. Visit www.sleep.me/invest. to get up to $255 off a ChiliPad 2.0. This special offer is available for InvestTalk listeners and only for a limited time. Order it today and get your 30-day sleep trial with free shipping and free returns. Go to www.sleep.me/invest and see why cool sleep is worth every cent.
InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch Invest Talk on our YouTube channel.
Hi, Justin or Luke. I was hoping I can get your thoughts on the ag industry, specifically tickers ADM and CF, that's Archer Daniels Midland and CF Industries. I've held these companies on and off for quite some time now, and I can never seem to get it right. Just wondering if you can just take a look at these or let me know your thoughts. Is it worth holding on to at the moment? Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Looking at Archer Daniels Midland ADM as well as CF Industries. Now, CF is more of a fertilizer player versus ADM more focuses on the, call it the nuts and bolts of the ag business. They produce oil seeds, corn, wheat, cacao, and other agricultural commodities. They have ag services, carbohydrate solutions. I mean, they're large, $40 billion market cap. Unfortunately, their profitability is pretty meager, only about a 5% return on equity. Versus CF Industries, their business tends to be much better. You take a look at their profitability, return on equity is 27%. So I like that. I like companies with big profits consistently. If you look at the overall returns, Archer Daniels Midland has a 15-year, 8.5% total return, trailing return, annualized total return, 15 years. CF Industries, because it's a lot more profitable, 16.5% is 10-year yield. Sorry, that's its 10-year yield. 10.5 is its 15-year yield. So if you just look at 10 years, 16% for CF, 8.5% for Archer Daniels, and once again, reflected in the overall profitability. Now, CF is tends to be a bit more volatile, so you have to be comfortable with that. But I am. I'll take the volatility for a business that's just more consistent. So am I picking one? I'm picking CF Industries, and I'd probably sell ADM. Lastly, let's talk about the $1 million mark. I mean, it used to be, I need $1 million and I can retire. And there's some recent surveys from Empower, Schroders, Northwestern Mutual, and their averages range from about 1.1 million is what the average pre-retiree is targeting for retirement, saying, I will have enough at this amount to retire. Empower, like I said, 1.1 million, Schroders 1.3, Northwestern Mutual 1.5 million. So what is the real number? And I think the reality is depends on the person. Depends on the location you're going to retire to. Depends on the lifestyle you are going to lead. There's definitely not a one-size-fits-all solution here. It oversimplifies retirement planning. It all depends on how you want to spend your golden years. Also, how long you're going to be in those golden years. Your life expectancy when you retire. A 75-year-old, 1 million might be plenty. But a 55-year-old, 1 million probably isn't enough because you're talking about spanning much larger gap of human life. What's interesting is that only 4.6% of Americans with retirement accounts have actually gone over the $1 million mark. That's according to 2025 census. So basically, that $1 million mark is no longer useful for a number of reasons. Number one is only 14% of private sector workers in the U.S. have access to a defined pension plan. So they're not really being supplemental income besides Social Security. A lot of times, Social Security as well as maybe a pension, and $1 million is kind of a nice to have. Now it's all about that. It's all about that 401k, TSP, 457, etc. Or 403B. People are living longer. It's just more difficult. So this is where retirement planning comes in, and your advisor should be providing this. If they're not, then you're probably with the wrong advisor, because this is vital to understanding the path forward for your retirement. Now, I'm Justin Klein, reminding you that KPP Financial's parallel investing could be right for you. When we make a trade for our clients, we make the same trade for ourselves on the same day, same price, same percentage, no front running, no special treatments. We invest right alongside our clients. Please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify. And go check out our YouTube channel and rate and review us over on iTunes. And our next wealth webinar set for Tuesday, June 30th, 12 to 1 p.m. Pacific time, Beyond the Yield, How to Invest for Your Income Needs. Go sign up and register at investtalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.